Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see you in this service. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to have those of you who are guests with us today. And we hope that today is a very special blessing to you. You should have been given a connection card. And if you were, please drop that in one of the offering receptacles back in the back of the sanctuary. And we do appreciate you being with us on Christmas Eve. Be sure and remember there will be no choir practice, no small groups this evening. Enjoy the evening with your family. Wednesday night activities here at the church at 6 o'clock. We'll be going back to regular events with children, teen, and adult Bible studies. If you're planning to walk in the Family Life Center, if you want to show up tomorrow and you have a key, you go right ahead. But walking will be on Wednesday and Friday for sure. But be sure to remember that. Prayer time Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We had a good group here this past Friday. And come and there's no agenda. It's just the building is open. And you can come and pray pray for the services on Sunday. If you don't have anybody else to pray for, you can come and pray for the pastor. Amen. So be sure and remember prayer time here at the church on Friday. Next Sunday morning is New Year's Eve Sunday, and so we will be having Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship at 10:30, regular time, regular services, Sunday evening. We will not be having any activities on Sunday evening, so be sure to remember that. East Tennessee Disaster Relief will be going to Clarksville. If you remember a few weeks ago, a tornado hit in the Clarksville area. And East Tennessee Nazarene Disaster Relief will be going up there January the 2nd through the 6th to do some debris cleanup and things like that up in Clarksville. They are needing tarps and contractor-sized trash bags. And if you can donate those, have them here either Wednesday night, next Sunday, or the next Wednesday night. The latest that we'll be taking them will be the next Wednesday night, January the 3rd. And if you would like to go and help, if you'd like to go and help, be sure and contact Pastor Tyler. He will be here Wednesday night, and you can talk to him about it. Some of you may not know, Pastor Tyler is the assistant coordinator for East Tennessee Nazarene Disaster Relief on our district. And that's the reason that the trailer sits out here all the time. But he is the assistant coordinator, and he'll be glad to tell you how you can go and be a part of that. And if you would like just to make donation toward this, you can do that as well. Next Sunday morning, there in the foyer, there will be a box out there for diapers and wipes. We want to welcome Jackson Matthew Thomas, which is Johnny and Paige's new baby, to our church family. And that box will be out there in the foyer next Sunday morning for any size diapers and wipes. And that would be a blessing to them if you could help them out. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thankful for the way that you bless our church and help us to do things that we might not be able to do through your giving. And we do want to thank you for that. The poinsettias have been beautiful up here during the Christmas season. If you purchased one or more, be sure and pick those up today, unless you want them to die. Because if I'm responsible to do that, they're going to die. It will not be pretty so be sure to pick up the poinsettias before you leave. And if you know someone that is not here today, pick up theirs, take it for them, water it real good until they get back, and then be sure and give it to them. And we would appreciate that. Any other announcements that need to be made this morning? The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. Its light is meant to remind us of the love that God has for us. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's love in human form. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul says love is patient. Love is kind. It envies no one. It is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. It is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not gloat over other people's trouble, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never fails. And today we light this candle to remind us of how God's perfect love, the gift of Christmas, is found in Jesus. to renew our hearts. You came to fill us with your love. Lord, you came and you have reminded us that we are a reflection of your love. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us in this Christmas season, even today and tomorrow, and really throughout the rest of our lives. Help us, O God, to remember that there are those who need to experience your love. It's sometimes the only expression of your love that they're ever going to see is through your people. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, that in everything that we do, that we would show forth your love until you come. I pray, Father, that you would help us throughout the rest of this Christmas season to keep our minds focused on you. And may we remember who you are and what you have done in our lives. And we give you praise, honor, and glory this morning for what you're going to accomplish in this service. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll ask you to stand as you're able, and we're going to sing a couple of Christmas carols, and then we're going to look at the message this morning.
Sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground.
Thank you, Lord, for the songs of Christmas. Thank you for what we celebrate. Thank you for the gift that has been given. And I ask you, God, now that as we look into your word, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would come and illuminate to our hearts and to our minds this morning exactly what this gift that we have received really is all about. We thank you for these that have gathered here. We're thankful for this time of celebration. May you bless those who could not be here this morning because of sickness. May you touch them and help them. Thank you that you are the great physician, that you touch and heal bodies. And thank you, God, that we can entrust those that we love to you, knowing, God, that you're going to do what's best. And now, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. Help us to receive from you what you have to say to us. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish today, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. The past few weeks, we have been looking together at the gift of Christmas. Our first Sunday that we were together, we talked from John chapter 1, verse 1, about God before us in eternity, God before us in creation, God before us in light and life. The second Sunday, we moved on down to verse 14 of chapter 1, and we talked about the gift of Christmas, of God being with us in the flesh, dwelling among us in grace and truth, that he really came and set up his tent among us. I love that statement. We talked last Sunday about the gift of Christmas, God in us, how that God has come to change us, to make us new. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today we're going to look at the last of these series of messages and talk about the gift of Christmas, God coming for us. Look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's how I originally learned it, out of the King James Version. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a kid, did you ever get one of those gifts that said on the box, some assembly required? And it required either you or your parents. Most of the time, your parents. And as I became a parent, I realized what my parents went through in order to get stuff ready for Christmas morning, you know. Those assembly required things are great. Unless there is a part missing. And you're ready to play with that racetrack that Dad spent half the night trying to put together. And a figure eight racetrack now that had a little transformer over here. And you had a little thing that you pulled and turned the knob. And as you turned the knob, it went faster and faster and faster. That was what was supposed to happen on Christmas morning. I hope you caught the key word in that statement, supposed to happen on Christmas morning. Yeah. That year it was Cartersville, Georgia. I remember it well. The gift was there. Everything was there except for one important part. Those things did not run well without a transformer. And so, Mom and Dad ordered the part. And I sat there for several weeks looking at the racetrack in the floor, thinking about what it would be like if only everything had been included, you know. When something is not there, something about not having all the pieces just didn't really make Christmas complete. And to be honest with you, I knew when I started this in the book of John that basically you would really need to be here for all the messages. And I'm just going to tell you that really we're going to finish this up next Sunday morning. So you'll need to be here next Sunday morning really to get the full impact. But I really realized when I was putting all this together that without all of these pieces together, it would be incomplete. Now, I fully realize that you know, it's strange for a pastor to be looking at John chapter 14 on the Sunday before Christmas. Sadly, about the only time that we hear this passage of Scripture is at a funeral. You heard how I said that. Sadly, about the only time that we hear this is at a time of death or at a funeral. But I want you to understand something this morning, that this final part, or at least this part of the gift of Christmas, it tells us and begins to complete the whole story of the reason that Christ came. I mean, without this part and what we'll look at next week, without those parts, you really don't have the whole picture. John 14 was written to give us an idea about what is to come. Not just to soothe troubled hearts, and I'm so thankful for these words, and please don't think I'm making light of that. These are here to do more than just soothe our hearts at troubled times. It's important for us to understand that God existed before us. It's vital for us to believe that God came and made His dwelling among us. I mean, it's so important. It's imperative that you and I experience God living in us. But it's also important for us to understand that we don't just believe in a first advent, that we also believe in a second advent. If you remember and you go back, the word advent means coming. So we not only believe in a first coming of our Lord, but we also believe in a second coming of our Lord. And it is that really that I want us to look at this morning. You see, until the eternal celebration of Christmas comes, I think God wants us to see something about the gift that He has given to us. The first thing that I want you to notice here is the gift of Christmas, God coming for us. All of this was spoken during a time of trouble. He says here, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." One of the tragic things about the first coming of Jesus was that He entered into a world that was full of trouble. He came to a group of people who were weary and who were burdened. Now, you begin to think about it. They had not heard from God for 400 years. There had been no prophet of God for 400 years. And you sometimes wonder, were they not concerned about that? Maybe that's a thought that you've never had. Maybe it's just somebody with a weird mind like mine that thinks of those kinds of things. You know, I don't know. But for 400 years, they had not heard from God. Their religion had become nothing more than rules and regulations that if you didn't keep, you were no good. And I believe that people's hearts were troubled. I believe they were burdened. I believe they were going through all kinds of problems that we can't even begin to imagine. And when you begin to say things like that, it sounds real familiar, doesn't it? You know? He came to people who were under the yoke of slavery. He came into a world where people were ruled by Rome. They were subject to a corrupt government. They were taxed and taxed and taxed to the point that they could not hardly live. And it's into that kind of world. It's into that kind of world that Jesus came. I've across the years got, you know, contact from district superintendents about churches. "Oh, pastor, this is a golden opportunity for a young man like you There's got to be a special dispensation for district superintendents. Because a lot of those churches that are golden opportunities, when you go in, you find out that it's not so golden and it's not much of an opportunity. And you go into those places and somehow God uses and God blesses and does something anyway. Jesus came into a world that was in upheaval. There were people who were at each other. There were people who were in such confusion. They were going through things that they never thought they would go through. And the amazing thing to me about it, when I go on and I read the rest of the New Testament and I read what Paul said, and then I go on and I read what history tells us, I want you to understand that when I read what Jesus came into and I read the news today, not a whole lot of difference. And Jesus tells us something about this second advent. He says that when he comes in this second advent, that he is going to come into a world that's full of trouble. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 7. He says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed." That statement alone is amazing. "But see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." And Jesus goes on and talks to them about what we're going to see and what we're going to experience. And then you read what the Apostle Paul says. And you read all of this and you begin to wonder what is going on in our world. Now, I want you to understand this morning, I am not standing up here and I'm not going to give you a date. I would not be fool enough to do that. I adopted a philosophy a long time ago that it's not my job to prepare you for when the second coming is going to be. It's my job to prepare you so that whenever Jesus comes, whether he splits the eastern sky or he comes and he taps us on the shoulder and says, "Child, it's time," we're going to be ready. People don't agree on end times. I guarantee you I could go around to every person in this room and I'd get a different version of end times. I guarantee you I could do it. I'm kind of pan-tribulation. It's all going to pan out in the end, and I'm not going to worry about it. This much I do know. Jesus said that he would return. And based on what he says, when he returns, it will be in a time of trouble. But not only is the gift given to us in a time of trouble, but this gift has been given to those who believe. He says here, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." King James Version says there, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." One of my favorite parts of the Christmas story is the shepherds. We don't talk a whole lot about these guys, but they were outcasts of society for all intents and purposes. Because they dealt with the sheep, they could not go in and make sacrifice. They were considered constantly unclean. So that meant they couldn't go to the temple. That meant most people could not be around them. In fact, a lot of people call them dirt people. And yet it was to these outcasts of society that God gave the first message. It wasn't to the church folks. It wasn't to the religious people. It was to the outcasts of society. And here they are. They receive. I love how Luke says it in the King James Version. They were sore afraid. I'm going to tell you something. They weren't sore afraid. They were terrified out of their wits. Y'all may not like me saying it like that, but that's just the truth, you know? And they were a part of this whole narrative that you read of Jesus coming into this world. And to me, it is absolutely amazing that they left their livelihood They left everything and they said to each other, let us go and see this thing which the Lord has told us. They believed. Well, I suppose if you'd had angels appear, you would believe too. But I mean, really, they did believe. They believed in what the angel says. But you know, Peter says something in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. He says there that you and I have the word, a more sure word than what angels would give. Isn't that amazing? We have a more sure word than what the prophets gave. And God moved in them as they proclaimed His message. But you and I have a more sure word than they had. And now we really, okay, get this. And now we really have a more sure word because the word that we have is from the Word. Capital W-O-R-D. It's from Jesus. It's from Christ Himself. And Jesus, when He speaks here in John chapter 14, He's talking to a group of people who had doubts and who had questions. I want you to these guys did not have it all together. I mean, they had lived with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. There were those among them that wanted to call down fire from heaven on anybody that disagreed with them. We call them the sons of thunder. I've really thought about that they might have a good philosophy. You'll get that here in just a second. You should have laughed real quick, but you didn't. Okay? These were men who had experienced failure. These were men who had denied Him. I mean, the list just goes on and on when you start talking about this group of people. But it's to this group of people who had failed Him. It's to this group of people who were going to deny Him. It's to this group of people that Jesus uses this word, believe. Trust in Me, He says. You and I live in circumstances and situations that I'm telling you, sometimes we don't understand why. I mean, we experience problems, we experience sickness, we experience disaster, we experience all these things. And in the midst of all of those things, folks, please get this. If you don't get one other word I give you this morning, please get this. In the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of all the circumstances of life that are not good and that are not the best, Jesus still says to you and to me, believe. Trust in Me is what He says. You see, the key element to all of this that you and I do, as far as church is concerned, as far as Christianity is concerned, the key element to all of it is to believe. I realize that you have to admit you've sinned. I mean, I know that. I understand how important that is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I understand. But I also understand that if you and I are going to move out of the situation that we are in, we have to move into some sort of belief of saying that Jesus is the Christ, that He came, He was born, He lived, He died, He was resurrected, He is now ascended. You see, all of that is key to us. We have to believe those things. And Jesus is saying to this group of people who were going through all kinds of situations, who, I mean, you read what Thomas said in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we get there? And yet Jesus was kind enough to Thomas to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And then He says, Thomas, if you really knew Me, you would know My Father. And you would know where I'm going and what I'm doing. Sometimes it's hard to believe. You're not going to hear a pastor say that very often, but sometimes it is hard to believe. In the situations and circumstances of life, it's hard to believe, but it's in those times that we have to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Isn't that amazing? And when that father said that to Jesus, he got his miracle anyway. You see, this gift has been given to those who will believe. It did come in a time of trouble. There is no doubt of that. I mean, Jesus came into a world that was full of trouble, but he came into a world of people who were ready and willing to put their faith and trust in him. He still comes to people who are ready and willing to put their faith and their trust in him. But then this last point. We have the gift of Christmas, God coming for us in a time of trouble and then to those who believe. But we have this gift of Christmas that God is coming for us to take us to his house, heaven. I absolutely love the way the New International Version puts this. Now, I know that there are those who really like the word mansions, but I'm just going to tell you, I love the word rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Let me tell you why I like the word rooms so much. And I think I've told you this before. If I have, just forgive me. I'm getting old and forget what I say. The reason I like the word rooms so much is when I go home to see Mom, she doesn't put me outside in the storage buildings or outside in a nice house out there. I get to stay in my room. Well, Susie stays there with me. But it's our room. It's our furniture. I mean, it's furniture that has been in the house since I was in high school. I'm there with her. And when Dad was living, you know, it was home. It was with who I wanted to be with at that point in time. Someone said that Christ has entered our world, and as a result, we can enter his. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled. He set up his tent among us. He came to live on my street and your street. And as a result of that, because he gave himself, you and I can go to live with him. In fact, he invites us to come and live with him. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When Jesus comes the second time, whether it is a tap on the shoulder or whether he splits the eastern sky, I'm going to tell you the place to which we are going is unbelievable. Let me read you what John in Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21 says. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth. And the 12th amethyst. Now that last one is special to Susie because that's her birthstone. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. You go down to the jeweler and try to buy some of these things, and I'm going to tell you it's going to cost you a small fortune. But did you catch what it said here? The foundations of the city. Do you know what they did when they poured the foundation of this? They did not go down to the jewelry store and say, we want emeralds and amethysts so that we can put them in the foundation of this building. I'll tell you what they did. They called a local rock crusher and said, we want some rock put in the foundation, to get everything ready for us to pour the concrete. You know, I've never seen a lady say after Christmas, "Oh, my husband gave me concrete." You want to see my concrete? I'm telling you, he paid a fortune for this concrete. Well, today you would, but you know. I mean, the things that we consider so valuable are the junk that's in the foundation. Am I making fun of heaven? And maybe John was, he saw things that he could not even begin to explain. But the reality of it is, folks, what Jesus talks about here in John chapter 14 as a gift that is given to us is more than we can even begin to imagine. I love how W. E. McCumber talked about it, and I mentioned this already once in this series. I loved how Dr. W. E. McCumber talked about that the words that these people used, they broke down under the weight of what they were seeing. How do you talk about heaven? How do you even begin to put it into perspective? Jesus doesn't do that. He just says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and one of them can be yours." That's the bony paraphrase of that. One of them can be yours. Gordon Jensen said this. Beautiful song. He said, "If walls there weren't jasper, if streets there weren't gold, if mansions would crumble, if folks still grew old, still I'd see everything I've been longing to see, for Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me." Isn't that good? You see, this gift of heaven, this eternal gift of Christmas, ultimately is being in the presence of Jesus, the one who died for us so that we could live with Him. At the end of this Advent season, I'm going to light this last candle. We normally would do this at a Christmas Eve service. But this last candle is the Christ candle. And it reminds us that the light of the world, it reminds us that the light of the world was born. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 3 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder." And then in verse 6, he says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so this morning we're rejoicing as we light this last candle because of the one who has come to give us light, but also for the gift that he offers us, the gift of eternal life, joy, peace, hope, love. It's all part of the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. God coming to us in a time of trouble. The gift of Christmas. God coming for us who believe. The gift of Christmas. Getting to go be with Him in heaven. I've kind of talked around it, but there's one important point that you dare not miss. Just as surely as Christ came the first time, He will come the second time. We believe that. It's in our doctrinal statement. We believe that Jesus will come again. We don't try to set dates. We don't try to set times. We just say Jesus is coming. And that should be enough for us, really. But I want to read one more time what he says. "I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Old Testament prophets declared His first coming. They also declared His second coming. New Testament scholars and apostles declared His second coming. And just as surely as we will celebrate tomorrow and celebrate His first coming, He will return. The question that has to be answered is not, are you ready for Christmas tomorrow? But are you ready for Christmas? The eternal Christmas. Have you received the gift of Christmas? We thank You, Lord, for this time that we've had to look into Your Word. We're grateful, Lord, for the ways that You have really shown us Yourself in all of this and how You came and You were God. You were with God and You created all things, and by You all this still exists. And then You set up Your tent here with us. And that anyone who believes, who puts their trust in You, who forsakes their sins and desires to live for You, they can know You in the full and free pardon of sin. And then, even though life may be full of trouble, the gift of Christmas is there to help us, to sustain us, and one day to come and receive us. Lord, if there's one here this morning that they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, they've never received the gift of Christmas, or maybe, Lord, they have walked away, but this morning they look to You and say, oh God, You came so that I could be forgiven. You came so that I could have eternal life. And today, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. And I'm thankful that Your Word says that if I repent, that You'll come into my heart. You'll forgive my sin. And heaven can be my home. We rejoice in the gift of Christmas. We rejoice in Jesus this morning. And because of that, all can be well. In a world that is full of trouble, all can be well. So bless us as we sing this last song and then are dismissed. May You bless us and help us. And Lord, no matter what happens in the coming days or weeks or years, remind us of the gift of Christmas. The One who has come. The One who felt what we feel. The One who knows what we know and loves us anyway. The God who is the gift of Christmas. We love You and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite new carols. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I probably won't make it through it. And so if you know it, sing loud. But it's All Is Well. And I'm glad to tell you that all can be well in your heart and in my heart. Let's stand together as we sing this closing song. All is well, all is well. Angels and men rejoice. For tonight darkness fell into the dawn of love's light. Sing alley, sing alley, hallelujah. Christmas. Y'all have a great day tomorrow. You are dismissed. Don't forget your poinsettias. God bless you. We'll see you later.